Well, since this is interactive, can you guess what the theme of today is?
Love.
Good job. You got it. It was love. I think almost every single thing had something about love, even what you said about your friend in the text there, Will. So when we talk about love, it's interesting. That's one thing I like about Love, Inc., in the name of Christ. Love doesn't matter, really, on the eternal scale when it's not done without the name of Christ. I believe that it's possible for people to love and love with an unconditional love, but without Christ, they miss the deeper aspect of it. One of the things that Jason didn't mention is that they have the Agape fundraiser coming up on February 22nd. Agape is this kind of deep-seated, way down, you didn't deserve it kind of love that you can only get through Christ and through God and his love for us. That's specifically what we're going to talk about today. But one of the things I think we find is that you didn't have to love is a hard thing for us. Sometimes we want to be like Linus and say, I love mankind. It's people I can't stand. That, I think, corresponds to something my professors used to say in school. They would say, ministry is great, except for the people. So it's about that way. And I don't believe it because people are who God has asked us to minister to. Just like in Love, Inc., they come and they get ministered to. So today, I want to specifically talk about three forms of love, but ultimately the love that you didn't have to love. So let me pray first. Dear Lord, thank you for this time. Please just help me to be able to say clearly what you want me to say, to be concise, yet exactly what our hearts need to hear so that we can change. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, my grandmother, that's my mom's mom. My mom passed away, you know, in July. My grandmother, bedbound and blind, was moved up to Baltimore. That was an ordeal. Now she's been up there trying to serve God from her bed by singing to people and witnessing to them. She went to the hospital 2 days ago with a severe blood infection. Could be deeper than that. I won't go into the details because this is recorded. But she is there trying to spread God's love when God might be telling her, your mission is going to be closing up. How do you finish well? This is what she told me. When God said to love, he said it with his own love and not human love. Once we start loving with God's love, the cool thing is that our human love starts to get in there. It takes a little while, but it does. What we have to do is be willing to allow God to love through us, which I think most of the time we don't want to because it's inconvenient. It's too frustrating or challenging to love others the way God does or Christ does. So if you would turn in your Bibles, we're going to look at three passages today, and yes, I'll have them on the screen. But if you turn in your Bibles, you can also see if I'm telling you the truth. Matthew 5, and we're starting with verse 43. So in Matthew 5, I'll give you the background. This is during the Sermon on the Mount. It's one of Jesus' famous sermons where in Matthew it's two or three chapters together. And the Sermon on the Mount was all about serving God fully with the mind, with your heart, and with your actions. So what Jesus had just gotten through, he told the Ten Commandments. One was, thou shalt not murder. But he said, it's not just thou shalt not murder physically. But if you think a thought like that in your mind, you have committed that sin. Thou shalt not commit adultery. But if you think that lustful thought in your mind, you have committed adultery. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you hate your enemies, what good is that? So Jesus wanted to show that it's not just what you do, but it's what you think as well. Because God wants all of us, not just our actions. That's why his name is I Am, and why we're called human beings. We are to be set apart by God for his work. So let's read Matthew 5, verses 43 through 47. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? So if we wanted to do the first point, I could say that we want to love our enemies. Cats and dogs don't normally get along together. We would say they're enemies. So if a cat loved a dog, a dog loved a cat, that would be loving our enemies. But for us, it's a little more challenging than that, because sometimes we wish Jesus didn't say that stupid phrase. We might not feel we have enemies, but do you have anyone in your life that you see and avoid? Do you see them at Fred Meyer's and you're like, oh boy, I'm going to go the other way? I would consider them an enemy. Even if you want to call them a frenemy, that is still someone we avoid. And sadly, Jesus asks us to love them. We've been looking at Jonah for the last few weeks, and God called Jonah, and he said, Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh, because they're doing some evil things, and it's finally gotten up to me. And I want you to tell them that if they don't stop, they will be destroyed. Jonah, without saying anything, went the other way, 2,000 miles in the opposite direction, because Nineveh was his enemy. But God didn't allow him to get away with that. He put him on, Jonah went on the ship, the transport ship, but God had his own transportation, the fish bus. God had him be in this bus for 3 days and be spat out, probably in the very same place he left. Because God said, no, 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 it's love your enemies, not love just your people. So the first principle, love your enemies. Okay, now for the second one. This is from Luke chapter 10. And the background from Luke chapter 10 is really simple. It's actually starting in verse 25. And this was another time that Jesus was speaking to his disciples, but someone came up, a teacher in the law came up, and wanted to question Jesus. So this is what it says. On one occasion, an expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? He answered, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. You have answered correctly, Jesus replied. Do this and you live. But he wanted to justify himself, so he asked Jesus, and who is my neighbor? So this now begins the story of the Good Samaritan. You know it by heart, maybe even by heartburn, because God asks us to do something within him. Well, the story of the Good Samaritan, we sometimes miss some of the deeper things. I'll try to point it out as we read. If we keep going in verse 30. In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho when he fell into the hands of robbers. They stripped him of his clothes, beat him, and went away, leaving him half dead. So this man was a Jew, a fellow Jew. The robbers probably were Jews too. A priest, a leader of the law, someone that was, they felt, called by God, ordained to teach people about what God wanted them to do, happened to be going down the same road, and then he saw the man, and he passed on the other side. Well, we might give him a pass because if a priest gets unclean, he has to become clean again. And a lot of times that takes 7 days. He has to serve in the temple, so okay, we'll let him have a pass. Verse 32 says, so too a Levite, another teacher of the law that sometimes served in this temple, he saw the man. He came to the place, saw him, and passed by the other side. Well, the Levite probably could be unclean and become clean again, and that wouldn't have disrupted anything, but he passed by the other side. We walk down the line at Fred Meyer's, we see that person, and oh, we pass by the other side. Luckily, they aren't beaten up, but we do the same thing. So verse 33 says, but a Samaritan. That word, but, we miss. That's an eraser word. It erases what has gone on before. The Levite, he walked by. The priest walked by. But now is something really important. The Samaritan comes by. And who's this Samaritan? He would be considered a half-Jew or a non-Jew. He would be considered someone that is not a Jewish person. The Jews would have considered them their frenemies. They would have considered them unclean. But a Samaritan enemy, as he traveled, came where the Jewish man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. He took pity on his enemy. He went to him and bandaged his wound, pouring an oil and wine on it. Then he put the man on his own donkey, took him to an inn, and took care of him. Now you see, this is now in response to not just enemies, but the teacher of the law said, who is my neighbor? So Jesus is making it even more specific. Your neighbor actually might be the person you think is your enemy. So this enemy, neighbor, Samaritan, takes him to the inn, and the next day, he took out 2 silver coins, which was worth a lot of money, and gave them to the innkeeper. Look after him, he said, and when I return, I will reimburse you for any extra expense you may have. Which of these 3 do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of the robbers? Jesus asked. The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. Jesus told him, go and do likewise. So you see, sometimes we think that our neighbor is only the person that is next to us. Our neighbor is only the person that lives next to us or is our coworker. But God's saying that it's not so subdivided. Our neighbor is the person that God brings before us. I like this picture because a lot of times we as adults are the ones that are facing in opposite directions, trying to avoid our neighbors. But kids, they don't have those prejudices. They don't have the feelings that keep them apart. They just say, well, I'm in this moment. How can I love and enjoy it? And I think that's one reason God has given us kids, to remind us, okay, this is how you love. So when we love our neighbors, we can do amazing things. If you didn't get the first point, love your enemies. Second point, love your neighbors. Now for the third point, we are going to read a passage that we misinterpret. So, Matthew chapter 25, verses 34 through 40. And as you turn there, I'll give you the background. This is during something called the Olivet Discourse. It is a series of talks that Jesus had with his disciples on the Mount of Olives. Jesus was explaining to them about the end of time, about when Jesus' second coming would happen, about what would happen during that time, how it would be painful and challenging, and that the timing wasn't known except by God, and that everyone needs to be ready. Then, after that, comes judgment. So let's read verses 34 through 40. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth. Whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. When we look at this passage, I'm also suspect to it, or I don't know, I've misunderstood it as well. Jesus is talking to his disciples at this time. He's talking to the other believers, the other followers. Jesus has just talked about separating the sheep from the goats. Sheep and goats, they use the same field. But goats sometimes would bully the sheep. The sheep would be separated from the goats. That's just how it was. But in this case, Jesus is talking about the sheep being on the right, the sheep, his flock, being on the right, the goats, those that didn't believe that he was king, didn't believe in his message, would be on his left. So Jesus, he cared for the needy in general. We see that so many times throughout Scripture. And he calls for his disciples and all followers to do that as well. However, in the scene of the Last Judgment, Jesus' brothers are his disciples. Whatever you do for the least of these, my brothers. So notice he's got brothers, and then at the beginning it said, the righteous would say to him, when did we see you needing clothes and clothe you? When did we visit you in jail? So we have the righteous, those are the followers of God that follow right. And then we have the brothers. Sometimes we use this passage to say, oh, well, we need to reach out to the whole entire world, to reach them for God because he loves them. The answer is absolutely. But in this passage, he's talking about what we do at the end of time for those brothers and sisters. Those believers that are being persecuted, those whose husbands have been taken away from them, or who have been beaten for their faith. Jesus is saying, when I'm identifying with my brother, my sister who has been persecuted, what you do for them shows me what's in your heart. If your heart has been changed, you truly help them and you love them. Those are the ones that inherit the kingdom. It's not actions. And like Will said, in Islam, it's doing. It's not doing. When your heart is loving your brother and sister in Christ, you inherit the kingdom of God. The kindness that the sheep show to Jesus' needy brothers does not merit this reward, but reveals that their hearts have been transformed by his mercy. The first song, I can't play it, probably on Tom's guitar, that I had to learn. It goes, we are one in the Spirit, we are one in the Lord, we are one in the Spirit. And you'll know we are Christians by our love, and you'll know we are Christians by our love. Sometimes I think people look at us and only see hate. Sometimes I think we aren't able to express God's love very well because the intersection between grace and truth is a messy grace. Sometimes we mess it up. Sometimes we misunderstand. We always have to stand for God's truth, but we can do it in love. So if we were saying what the third point is to love one another. If someone looked at you, would they know that you're a Christian? Would they know that you love your brothers and sisters in Christ? Would they know that you love your neighbors? Would they know that you love your enemies, those that you dislike? Sometimes your enemies are those in your own household. Sometimes it might be a parent, like I have to deal with. I've come to the place that you don't have to like the person. Because sometimes you can't, whether for protecting yourself from abuse again, but you can love the person in Christ's love, saying, God, I want what you have for them. I want the best for them. Please help me to be wise to see how to love them and still protect myself. So what happens? Have you ever had a time where you cared about someone out of the blue? Have they ever said, well, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to give me money for groceries. You didn't have to give me a ride. You didn't have to do this really great thing for me. How did it make you feel? Did you feel like you were cared about and you were loved? Well, this video, which has to do with love, which has to do with Valentine's Day, men, it's coming up in 4 days. So there's your hint. It has to do with caring for someone. It is about a man, and you'll see it at the very first part. Before he proposed to this woman who had 2 kids, he sold his prized possession. He sold it to raise the kids that were not his. As you watch it, look for the you didn't have to kind of love. And I hope that it'll be pretty evident.
I saw one this morning, I gave her a kiss, I said, happy birthday, and I got on Facebook later, and I said, what, it had a memory of a year ago? Oh my gosh, she was born a year ago. I'm like, kind of funny.
I tickled her, she smiles. Did you hear that?
That was
how are you?
This is an automatic. Wow. Interesting story. When I got mine, I bought it on Friday the 13th of December. It was a brand new model. I bought it in 72 to 73. And I was going to take delivery of it about 2 days later. And they called me that afternoon and they said, we found some bad paint up in this area. Huh. They said, we want to strip it and repaint it for you.
Oh, wow.
I said, go ahead and do that. He said, that'll delay it a couple of days. I said, it's all right. So he called me back later that afternoon. He said, we found more bad paint. And I think it was back here on the back. She said, now, what we'd like to do is we want to strip the entire car down and repaint it.
Wow. Oh, wow.
That took 2 weeks.
Huh.
Oh, wow.
Wow. It was a brand new car?
Brand new car.
Wow.
That's brand new?
And I had it for 3 years, and there was a damaged spot on that car after 3 years.
Huh.
Damaged spot?
Yeah, but that's it.
Yeah.
What was the license plate on it?
DF20. This is a, this has got a big, the big 454. Mine had a 348.
Wow.
That's
what's yours like this?
That's pretty green.
Yeah.
Same?
I want to see. Yeah. Yeah. And I have this. What is this? What is this? How many people knew this was coming?
Like show of hands?
Just followed yourself up,
you could see how much he really loved that car. He really, really did. But he was willing to give it up, to take care of kids that were not his, to adopt them as his own, and to marry a mom. I think that their phrase all growing up was, "You didn't have to. You didn't have to do that, Dad." But see what lives were transformed by the "you didn't have to" love. Those kids had a family. The wife had a husband that stayed loyal to her. And how many of us, now it's over 1.3 million views, have been able to learn of this? When we love with a "you didn't have to" love, the world is changed. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own you didn't have to love for us in this, while we were still in the act of sinning, while we were still in the act of ticking him off, while we were still in the act of doing what he told us not to, while we were still in the act of nailing him to the cross, he still loved us. He still did it, and he didn't have to. But his love compelled him to, because he loves you and he loves me and he loves our neighbors and he loves our enemies." This picture says it all. That "love your enemies" thing, I meant it. That "love your neighbors" thing, I meant it. That "love your brothers and sisters," I meant it. You can probably figure out what the application should be. It's to love with a "you didn't have to" love. It's to love not expecting anything back. It's to love to change the world. Unconditional "you didn't have to" love changes the world. Did you know you could be a world changer? And you don't even have to go to Papua New Guinea or Tanzania or even Sri Lanka. You can do it right here. Person and friends, go up to them. It might take you a while. You might have to listen to a lot of talking. The person at your work that you don't like, pray for them. Ask God for open doors. And your brothers and sisters in Christ, don't forget to pray for them. Let's pray. God, I thank you that you have given us an opportunity to be a world changer. We don't deserve it because we are basically like a speck. Our time here on earth is so quick, and it's almost over. But goodness gracious, you loved us so much that even though we were undeserving, you died for us to give us life and hope and a peace and to be able to tell others about that very same thing, God. Please help us to love with a you didn't have to love, not expecting anything back, except for them to know that God loves them. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for being here with us today. I was wondering if you would mind standing, and I would like to leave you with one final verse as our benediction. And this is found in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Tim probably could lead us in the song, "Beloved, let us love one another." But I will just read it. Here it goes. "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love, agape love, unconditional, you didn't have to love, comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever doesn't love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins." So leave on this, dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. Go in the knowledge that you can be a world changer. Love your neighbors, love your enemies, love your brothers and sisters with you didn't have to love. Glad you came. We'll see you next week.